Hey guys, we hope you're enjoying your 4th of July weekend, and thank you so much for joining us for this morning's online experience. If you're looking for more ways to partner with the church, there's four simple ways to do so. The first way is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can text to give. You can text the word give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount, and then you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give within the church app. Make sure to go to your app store, or if you get apps from, and look for the church app. It'll be a white icon with a gray cross. And within the church app, search Waters Edge Gathering. From there, you can do online giving, you can listen to Pastor Tony's messages, or you can jam all the latest worship music, all from within the church app. Or you can give by mail. You can do so by mailing Waters Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Waters Edge Gathering at 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. We love you so much. Now enjoy today's message from Pastor Tony.
Just about everything we feel in life usually revolves around how we feel about our performance, our job performance, our relationship performance, our faith performance, and for many people, their spiritual performance. And most of us, we think that our worthiness of love is based off of our performance, even with God. But what if God called you good before you did anything good at all? Simply because you were God's artwork. You are God's majestic creation, made in His image.
What's up, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning online experience. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Also, don't forget, the countdown is on to Easter in July. July 25th and 26th will be our relaunch date, so keep that in mind. We're going to continue to post details, but we're going to have our very first services back July 25th and 26th, Easter in July. It's going to be cool. Pray with me real quickly. Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for being real. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for loving us today. God, speak to our hearts and challenge us. Give us peace. Give us hope. Give us conviction. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. On the very first day, day one, God created light. And the Bible says that He separated light from the darkness, evening from the morning. And God said that it was good. On the second day, God created the sky. Some days we look up and the sky is clear, beautiful, and blue. Other days we look up and the sky is dark, gray, and gloomy, but it's still the same sky. On the third day, God separated the land from the waters and He caused fruit and vegetation to grow. And when He looked out on it, He called it good. So God created, and then God called His creation good. On the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon and the stars. The stars and the moon to guide us during the nighttime and the sun to guide us during the daytime. I find it very interesting that God created light before God created the sun and the moon and the stars, which lets us know that sometimes God will tell us what to do without you and I being able to figure out how it's going to work out first. Sometimes we just got to move. Sometimes we just have to step into the light. Sometimes we just have to live by faith. On the fifth day, God created the fish in the waters and the birds of the air, and it was good. And on the sixth day, God created animals and livestock, small animals, big animals, fuzzy animals, and animals that taste really good in a gumbo. And then the turning point happened, the climax of the story, the high point of the story. God created you and I as human beings, and then He created you and I as people in His own image. And at the end of the sixth day, after He created the apple of His eye, you and I as people, this is what He said. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, out of the New Living Translation. Then God looked over all that He had made, and He saw that it was very good. So not just good, but this time very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So when God looked out at us and the rest of His creation, He didn't just say, man, that's good. He said that that is very good, which means this, before you and I did anything good, God called us good because we were created in the image of God. Before you and I did anything good in this life or even bad, God called you and I good simply because you and I were created in the image of God. And then on the seventh day, What did God do? Shout it out from your couch if you know it. God kicked back in his majestic recliner, and the Bible says that God rested. God himself rested. Now, it's important to understand who the very first readers were of the book of Genesis, the creation account in history. And so this is who they were. Who they were was the nation of Israel. And this is when they would have first received the creation account in the book of Genesis, when they were slaves in Egypt, making bricks all day long. And then right after they were set free from Egyptian slavery, running for their lives with Moses as their leader through the wilderness. And so in Egypt, this is what they did. And this is all they did all day long. They made bricks for these big Egyptian construction projects, almost like a chain gang, all day long, every single day. All they did was to be driven by their slave masters to make bricks, bricks, and more bricks. And so God wanted them to know right away, as they received the letter of Genesis, the poem of Genesis, the creation account, God wanted them to know right away that God called them good and that God made them good because they were made in the image of God. But I bet that was hard for them to believe, as slaves who felt like they couldn't do anything good. All their only value was just making bricks all day long. They couldn't do anything good, but God still called them good because they were made in the image of God. Could it be true that God is loving? Could it be true that God is merciful? Could it be true that God is gracious? And could it be true that God called them good before they did anything good because God wanted them to know that they're more to him than what they do or what they have ever done? God wanted them to know that they are more to him than what they do or what they had ever done. I know a young man who lost his father to prison when he was 14 years old, and he lost his mother to cancer when he was 17 years old. He had no one else after that. He had to grow up fast. And he became very, very angry. I was his youth minister for several years, and from the outside looking in, it seemed like his anger had control of him. And his anger affected every other decision and circumstance in his life, and his anger made him tired. I knew this lady when I pastored another church who married her high school sweetheart. They had their first child, and then 2 years later, they had their second child. And while she was pregnant for their second child, she found out that her husband of so many years was having an affair. Well, he promised that he would fix the problem. And so they had their second child. And then 3 years later, they had their third child. And about 12 years after that, he had another affair. But she stayed. From the outside looking in, I could see that she was a slave to her emotions, that she felt lonely and her esteem was crushed. And it just seemed like she was tired. When I was growing up, my parents had some friends, some great friends to my parents. And these people loved Jesus. They loved God. They loved people. And they were good people. They had a son. And when that son was younger, he had all the potential in the world. Athletics, personality, gifts, the grades, the talent. He had the world in his hands. But as a young man, he got hooked on cocaine, specifically crack. And for the rest of their life, he was in and out of jail, in and out of prison, always losing jobs, always needing money, always stealing money from his parents, good people, and from their friends, always in trouble, always in prison, and always putting a burden on them. And from the outside looking in, it seemed like they were slaves to sadness over their son, and they were tired. I counseled with a married couple last year who early on in their marriage made some horrible financial decisions. And they were working so hard years later to pull themselves out from being underwater, just drowning in their finances. But it seemed like every time they took a step forward, something bad would happen in their life and they had more debt, or one of them would make a dumb decision and then they had more debt. And they had so much fear over the uncertainty and so much stress under that debt that they eventually divorced. And from the outside looking in, it just seemed like they were tired. And what about you this morning? Do you feel alone? Do you have people in your life that you deeply love, but do those people make you feel all alone? Has your esteem been crushed? Do you feel rejectable? Do you feel unwanted? And does that make you feel tired? Or what about this? Are you angry today? And has your anger affected everything else in your life, every other decision, every other circumstance? And do you feel like you're a slave to your angry reactions? And are you tired of it? Or Do you have someone else in your life that you love deeply and those people won't stop making decisions that destroy their life, and it seems like everything you try to do to help those people just doesn't work? And does it feel like you're a slave to that concern over their life, and are you tired? Or what about this? Have you made choices in your past, and does it seem like those choices just do not let you go? And does it seem like every time you take a step forward, then you take three steps back and you just sink underneath the water? And that fear and uncertainty, does it have you like a slave, and does it make you tired? So many people in this life today feel this exhaustion on the inside. It's like we're making bricks all day long. It's like we can do nothing good. It's like we can do nothing right. It seems like the value of our existence is just like being driven by a slave driver. Our anger is causing us to make bricks all day long. Our fear is causing us to make bricks. Our guilt and our shame over the past, our storms, is just causing us to make bricks all day long. And are you tired? And are you searching for peace? Because most people today, if they were honest, that's what they're looking for. They just want some rest. They just want some peace from the exhaustion of life. The question is, what are you doing and where are you going to find that peace? Once God, through Moses, delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery and into the wilderness to wander for 40 years until they reached the promised land, during that time, God gave them the 10 commandments. Anyone remember what the fourth commandment was? It was, God gave you the Sabbath day, and so remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy by doing no work so you can rest. God created for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God said, I'm gonna do something holy. I'm gonna rest. And then the fourth commandment was this, work for 6 days, but on the seventh day, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy by doing no work and by resting. And so God, in essence, says this, you once were slaves, you once were in bondage, making bricks all day long, every single day, but I came to set you free. And when I set you free, I give you rest. Why? Because God wanted them to know that God loved them just as they are, and they meant more to God than what they could produce. They meant more to God than what they did or what they have ever done. Now, understanding all of that, let me give you some very personal, practical applications to drive home to our hearts today. If you're still with me today, say, I'm still with you. The first is this, your value in life is not found in what you produce. It is found in your existence. God loves you simply for you being you. God is not your slave master. God in Christ is your father. God in Christ is your brother. God in Christ is your attorney. God in Christ is your advocate. God in Christ is your savior. God in Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God in Christ is your comforter, your lover, and your healer, and your defender. God's not always looking for your performance. What he's looking for is intimacy with you. God's not always looking for your performance. What he's looking for is intimacy with you, mainly because God wants you to know that God called you good before you did anything good, because you're more to God than what you can do, and you're more to God than what you have ever done. The second thing is this, God works to set us free from what makes us inwardly tired. The anger, the crushed self-esteem, the loneliness, the guilt, the shame, the discouragement. God knew that we needed a Sabbath. The Israelites made bricks all day, and God freed them to give them rest. And that's why God is always tugging at your heart today, so he could give you peace and rest. Not to sit us down and say, what have you done for me lately? How have you served me lately? What have you produced for me lately? How have you changed the world lately? That's not why God is tugging at your heart today. The reason why God is tugging at your heart today is because you've bought into the lie that to God, in order to please him, you have to perform, perform, perform. And we always fall short. And so God wants us to know that God called you good before you did anything good, because you're worth more to God than what you can do or what you have ever done. God came to set us free, and God came to give us rest and peace. The third and last thing is this. Our relationship with Jesus should be a source of peace in our life, not more guilt. Guilt makes you feel lonely. Good makes you feel not good enough. Good makes you feel rejectable and tired. And Jesus didn't come to make all of that worse. Guilt makes you feel lonely, discouraged, rejectable, not good enough. And when you come to church, you shouldn't feel those feelings even more intensely. Jesus didn't come to make those things worse in your life. Jesus came to set you free in this life from making all those bricks. Notice the very words of Jesus himself. If you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in my heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden that I give is light. Now, back in the days of Jesus, you had religious teachers. They were called rabbis, and rabbis had disciples who would listen to the teachings of the rabbi. They would obey the teachings of the rabbi, and they would reteach the teachings of the rabbi, and they would try to follow them to the letter of the law. And each different rabbi had a teaching that was known as their yoke. And their yoke was their interpretation of God's Old Testament law. So for instance, if the Old Testament law said to love your neighbor as yourself, this rabbi would come along and say, this is what God meant to love your neighbor as yourself. I have 4 points. This was his yoke. Another rabbi would come along and say, no, this is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. They have 4 points, but I have 7 points. And that was known as his yoke. And they would take every single command of God in the Old Testament law, and they would come up with these points on how to obey them, and that was known as their yoke. And most of the religious teachers back then had yokes or teachings that no one could obey. They couldn't even obey them themselves, and it put more of a burden on the backs of people and more shame on the backs of people and more guilt on the backs of people. But when Jesus came along, Jesus had a yoke, Jesus had a teaching, and his was different. The old traditional way taught this: do more. You're not holy enough. You don't pray enough. You don't worship enough. You don't serve God enough. You don't live holy enough. And it made people tired. So when Jesus comes along and says that his yoke is easy, peaceful, and restful, he said that if your life and your loneliness is crushing you on the inside, if your guilt and your shame is crushing you on the inside, if your fear and crushed self-esteem is crushing you on the inside, if it's made you tired, and it will, if it's made you weary, then come to Jesus, love Jesus, give your life to Jesus, follow Jesus, worship Jesus, serve Jesus, and in doing that, he will give you rest and peace for your souls. Am I preaching or what? Why? Because he wants us to know that God called you good before you did anything good, because your life is worth more to God than what you can produce, what you can do, and what you have ever done. So in light of that this morning, let me leave you with something new. We're gonna start doing this every now and then. I wanna leave you with some discussion questions that you can allow to take this message further in your heart, or maybe with the people that you're watching with right now. So you'll see these questions on the screen. The first one is this: what emotion or circumstance is making you feel exhausted in this life right now? The second thing is this: what internal emotion do you feel like you're a slave to, and why? The third question is this: in what ways were you taught to view God as more of a slave driver instead of a comforter and a peace giver? And then the last question is this: the statement, he called you good before you did anything good, because you're more to God than what you do or what you have ever done, what does that mean to you, and how does that statement encourage you? Take those questions, use them to go further in your heart, or use it to start a discussion with the people you're at right now. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Don't forget, July 25th and 26th, the relaunch of The Water's Edge. We love you.
What an amazing message from Pastor Tony this morning. We really hope you enjoyed today's online experience. And if you have social media, make sure to check us out at Water's Edge Gathering on Facebook and at Water's Edge_LC on Instagram. And also, don't forget the church app, where you can do online worship, you can listen to messages from Pastor Tony, and you can also do online giving. We hope you guys have a wonderful week, and we absolutely love you. God bless.